This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, and we have another special guest. Tyler Kennedy is always fun, isn't he, Joe, to talk about all these issues?
He was great today, wasn't he, Bob?
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce our second guest? He has a story, doesn't he?
This story, ladies and gentlemen, that you're about to hear,
it's incredible.
A nuts story. But then again, nothing surprises me in this day and age.
Not with Super Bowl champion Chris Hoke.
No. And listen, well, Pomp and I did the post-game show after the game on Sunday, right? And so, you know, Pomp and I was watching, and I was getting these alerts during commercial break. You know, my flight was being delayed, pushed back. And I was telling Pomp, I don't know if I'm going to make this flight. So I rushed over to the airport. I had a 7:30 flight out west. Ended up switching my flights, getting on a 7:45 flight out west to California. Monday night, so I leave my car there at the airport. Monday night, I get a phone call at 2:30 Eastern time from my son, and the cops were at my house, and I was thinking, man, Lincoln, like, what are you doing? You know,
you immediately thought he did
something. Yeah, I thought my son, like, man, I'm away. You're a good kid. What are you doing out at 2:30 in the morning on a school night? Well, come to find out that my car had been stolen from the airport, and I guess the next morning on the news, I wasn't here in Pittsburgh. I was out west until last night. But my understanding, it was on the news, and that white Chrysler that was stolen from the airport on Monday night and was involved in that high-speed chase was my Chrysler.
Wow. That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Bob, did you do it?
No. First of all, I'm afraid of high-speed chases, so I wouldn't even get involved in one. But did they find out who did it?
Well, I haven't dug into it yet because I've been traveling, but my understanding is it was two teenagers, and they bashed in the back passenger side window, and got in, and they used some kind of device to program a key to my car and took off.
I had a key with me.
I didn't even know that was possible either. But the crazy thing, I love that car. I mean, that car, listen, I've had it for about 8 years, 10 years.
It's totaled.
It's totaled. And, you know, I'll never get the value out of it that it was to me. You know, it was one that Jamie and I loved and we drove, and now it's gone. And it's going to cost me a lot more money to replace it. But this is crazy to me.
Why a high
that
speed
my, of all the 1,000 cars that were there at the airport that night, they chose my Chrysler.
But the fact that someone did that is reprehensible to begin with. But why a high-speed chase?
I don't know the full details. My understanding is there was some kind of traffic situation where an emergency car, a cop car, something came up behind them, and they didn't slow down and pull over. And so that car that came, and then another police officer saw that, another state trooper saw that, and went to pull him over because, usually when a car comes up through the lights going on, the siren going on, you need to pull over and slow down. They didn't pull over and slow down. And so then another cop, the street trooper, pulled up behind him and they took off, tried to pull him over, and they ran. So I think it was like a 10, 12 mile chase. And then they were trying to get off, and I think they lost control, hit the back, broke the back axle, and then spun around, hit the state trooper's car.
And took their lives and other people's lives.
It's crazy to me that would happen, but to me, it's like, it's something that you hear about that never think it would happen to you.
Right.
It's like an episode of Cops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe it.
It's just crazy.
And you're on the hook for money here too?
I don't know. I turned it into the insurance, and I got to go see the car. I still got to go down there and get, I have some things. Like the suit I wore, Pomp, on TV on Sunday was in the car.
You're going to take, because you're flying, you changed in the car, leave it in
there. Yeah, I did.
Is it still there? Did you recoup that?
The suit? Oh, I got to go. I asked them to take that, and I have some things from church things that I have for my temple in a bag that they saved for me. But it's even like a little hydro flask that Jamie used that I use every day is gone. I hope I can get that back, but it's like a little pinkish salmon thing, but I still use it because it was hers. It's just crazy to me that would happen.
Man, that is crazy. I don't know. So is this a good or bad time to say the Chris Hoke Show brought to you by Globe Airport Parking?
Oh, no.
Limits, you told me to read it at the beginning.
I was told that had to be the case. I didn't realize the correlation here.
No. I told Brent, you know, this. I said, listen, hook me up, man. I got to get this thing with Globe, man. I got to start putting my car there. I'm not leaving it at the airport anymore.
So you were in like long term or extended?
I was extended parking.
Yeah.
I don't mind
it.
I don't mind parking way out because I like to get steps. You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I do. Yeah. I want steps all the time, so I'll park away so I can get steps.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It's a great idea. Well, I'm glad all is well now. It's the Chris Hoke Show. Chris will join us till the top of the hour. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We have so much to talk about. I mean, there were mostly good things, some bad things with the defense. I guess I'm going to start with the biggest story of all, which is Aaron Rodgers. What did you make of his first performance?
Well, I think we talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers. We thought that he would do well if he got protection. And when he was clean in the pocket, he played really well. He was able to make the great throws. He was able to throw the ball on rhythm and move the chains as three touchdowns on a clean pocket. So we see what can happen, especially late in guys' careers, right, where they're not as agile, they're not as athletic, they're not as fast as they used to be. And he admitted that. But still, he didn't look stiff. He didn't look like he couldn't move around in the pocket. You watched him. Three touchdown passes were on the move. So that was pretty encouraging to see. But I thought that it was quite encouraging and exciting for Steelers fans to watch Aaron Rodgers play the way he did. That offensive line has to improve, right? You can't give up four sacks. And I know three of them were offensive line. One was a running back. But you've got to improve and protect him because you can see now what can happen with his offense if he has a clean pocket.
And that mostly means Broderick Jones, who's at a new position, which is his old position. Your assessment of what you saw from him in his first day, knowing that the pressure was on, and during the preseason, I know it's preseason, those guys didn't give up any pressures. Totally different game against the Jets.
Well, listen, but no pressures. You know this. You and I, we talk about this all the time. In the preseason, nobody game plans. People go out there and it's about you. It's about getting better at your craft, working on your defenses. Now it's strategizing and game planning to attack the weaknesses of the defense, of the offense or the defense. And you look at this game here, and really the reality was Quinnen Williams got after him. I mean, Quinnen Williams had that first sack in the first play of the game. Williams had a tackle for a loss, I think, the first or second play of the second half. But Quinnen Williams, after that, didn't do really anything at all with the three interior guys. Frazier, McCormick, and Sam Ollie did a great job against Quinnen Williams. He had success against Broderick Jones. Broderick Jones gave up two other sacks. He gave up three sacks in this game. And a lot of it is just I praised him a lot, Pomp, last week. He did a good job in camp. Looked like he improved, and he looked like he matured. But to me, it just seems like some of the old things kind of crept into his game, right? Technique, just not playing with his hands inside, kind of playing high. Got beat a couple times on effort. I think finishing plays. I mean, if you want to know what it's like to finish a play, go back and watch Marquise Pouncey. Watch that offensive line.
Oh, he'd take it to two
finish
levels.
Plays. Yeah, I mean, he would go on second, third level.
Right.
He'd be blocking guys, and it's just playing to the whistle. Things that you learn in Pop Warner. If Broderick Jones would have played to the whistle on every play, some of those things wouldn't creep into his game.
Chris Hoke with us here for the entire 11 o'clock hour. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So many different aspects we could talk about offensively, but I want to switch to the defense and the run defense.
Yeah.
And it was a continuation of the playoff game. There have to be multiple problems. What's the biggest one? What was the biggest
one? Talk about
on
the playoff
Sunday?
Game. Did you see the Ravens run the ball on Sunday night?
Yes.
And crank you. I mean, it was incredible.
How did they not win that game?
I don't know. Snuck it in and
But we can talk about that later. But I'll tell you what, this was an extension of that last game against the Ravens. I mean, it just looked like they could not get – I mean, they got a big stop there in the fourth quarter when they needed one. But largely throughout the game, they couldn't stop the run. And I think they've got to be a little more physical at the point of attack. They got to even be physical a little more at the second level, the inside linebacker position. There were some guys that, and Coach Tomlin alluded to this in his halftime comments. What he said was that we got to get off blocks. We got to be, you know, we got to be more physical. And it was pretty much what he said. And guys just need to be able to shed blocks. There's an element of guys that were short, meaning that they did not get over the top of blocks and they got behind blocks and weren't in their gaps. I think it wasn't just one guy. I think there were several guys that need to improve their game from week one to week two. But I believe it's the interior between the tackles where they need to improve the most, first and second level of that defense.
Linebackers, Peyton Wilson,
yeah.
Patrick Queen, I don't think they had their best, especially Peyton Wilson. My expectation of him was he's going to be a starter. He's going to be
– yeah. First game is a little much for him. I think the game was moving too fast for him, Pomp, and I don't think it's indicative of what kind of player he's going to be like in the future. But I think this first start for him, I think it was a lot. And I believe that as the game wore on, it was moving extremely fast for him. The New York Jets were attacking the Steelers' defense. He was on his heels. I see him improving. He's a great talent. I mean, he made a lot of plays in college. Mm-hmm.
He made a lot of plays last year.
Yeah,
I remember that Hill interception in the Ravens game where you weren't right with him.
Yeah, but it's different when you come in and you're rotating in and they're not game planning for you. Now they're going right at you. They know where you're going to be. They know what kind of player you are. They're going against your strengths and your weaknesses. So I think the linebackers, they're kind of linebackers that they don't do well when linemen are climbing up on them. And so they've got to be able to figure out a way to get off blocks and shed blocks. But I think in the middle, too, you have some D linemen that need to just do a better job of holding the point, better job of getting extension on the offensive linemen and playing down the line of scrimmage. They gave a little too much movement, a little soft at the point of attack. So this is something, you know, you hear Coach Tomlin, he talked about this in their meeting on Monday. He's a defensive coach. He ripped him up and down. You know they did because you don't give up 182 yards, 4.7 yards a clip, and not get ripped by your head coach, who's a defensive-minded coach. So they're going to improve. They're going to get better, or those guys aren't going to be playing because that was inexcusable.
Well, a lot of it, I think, begins right at the point of attack with the guy in the middle. And when you guys had your great defenses and some of the best run defenses in modern football history, Casey Hampton was the guy. When he got hurt, you came in, and they still went 15-1 sure. with you in the middle.
Yep.
What is his role, and is he capable of fulfilling that? Does he have the same role that Casey Hampton did? I'm talking about Keanu Benton. How's he doing?
Well, I think that it's evolved a little bit. I don't think he plays exactly how Casey and I played, but it's still pretty similar, right? As a nose tackle, your job really isn't to make plays. Your job as a nose tackle is to take up blockers, hold the point, take on the double teams, and allow your linebackers to make plays. It's to be a very unselfish player. Now, you know, Keanu Benton, you know, he's out there. At times, he gets himself in trouble. He's trying to make plays. He's trying to release off blocks. He's trying, you know, the run block, and he's getting double teamed or he's getting pushed down the line, and he's trying to swim or rip off the block, which stands him up a little bit and it makes him soft, and he gets washed down. He gets knocked down and opens up the gaps horizontally.
I have to believe, Hokie, that has to do with coaching. If they're telling him, you have a job to do, do it, and he's still trying to make plays instead of doing his job.
He's been told that.
That's a problem.
He's super talented. Keanu Benton is a super talented player. We all know that, right? It's a matter of playing within what is your responsibility within the defense. His responsibility within the defense is not to go out there and make plays. It's to make his play, right? Your job isn't to go out there and try to make a play and be the playmaker on the defense. It's to play your technique, do your job, and then when your play comes, make your play. But it's allowing those linebackers to flow and play. And these linebackers aren't big. I mean, Patrick Queen is not a big guy. And so he's more of a speed guy. So if you allow linemen to climb up on him, he struggles to get off blockers and make plays. He can run down guys. I think another thing in the run game too, Starkey, that I believe the Steelers, I don't know if they would say this or it's been said, I think they underestimated the speed of Breece Hall. And
they just saw him last year. He did the same thing.
I'm just telling you right now, Pom, they lost leverage so many times on the edges. There were guys.
But they all ran left. Every single play.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like when they would run that read option, right? And Justin Smith, Fields. Why am I forgetting his name? Justin Fields. He would take off and go to the edge. How many times did they beat us around the corner? Whether it was a corner out there beating them around the edge, not getting off the block, and come up and forcing the ball back into your pursuing defenders. Whether it was whoever it was, they got consistently beat to the corner and to the edge, and they were able to get around the corner. And you've got to be able to take better angles and have guys getting upfield, forcing the ball back inside. I think it was a myriad of things. I think it's just these guys didn't play together a lot in the preseason. And we saw preseason football on Sunday, and I expect them to get better.
But they got a win because their quarterback is smart enough and knows how to engineer an offense.
Aaron played as good as he could have played in that first game. And
according to Pro Football Focus.
That was crazy.
I wonder what they look at. I get they have all these metrics, but man.
Yeah.
The eye test. Eye test.
And he made all the throws. Listen, the guys were open. Great schematics in terms of offensive play calls. I mean, all three of those touchdown throws were wide open dudes. Mm-hmm. Skoranek was wide open.
But he didn't hesitate finding them.
No, he didn't. He knew right where to go with the ball. Skoranek coming across the middle on the middle range, the crosser, wide open. You had Jalen Warren, who was wide open. And those were all bootleg. And then you had Austin in the back of the end zone, wide open. Only one that was really a one hit to fight for was Jonnu Smith on that really little pop jet sweep kind of thing. He fought to get in. But the other three were wide open touchdown passes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This man is a Super Bowl champion, Bob. Chris Hoch, and yes, when it came his turn to be a starter, the Steelers, their great defenses didn't miss a beat. They went 15-1, so he's the perfect guy to talk about all this stuff with. I have some littler questions just from the game.
Yeah.
Little opinions. You can fire them off rapid fire if you want. You mind if I go ahead with this,
no,
Bob?
No, go ahead. I may add a few, too.
Add a few, yes. Join in.
Go ahead.
The low block call on Jalen Ramsey was horrific.
Horrific. In real time, it may have looked like it was a low block because you're taking on an offensive lineman. But what he was trying to do, he was trying to get low and come in. You can see he tried to avoid the blocker and come in and make the tackle. As you watch it pixel by pixel, or you watched it in back slow play, it was not what they called on the field.
And they also messed up the call. They originally called it against the Jets, and they turned it around.
A bad call.
Keeping with that.
It didn't hurt them, though. It was a first down run. It was a first down run. They got him a couple extra yards, but really did not hurt them.
Keeping with officials' calls, Calvin Austin got a pass interference call to his advantage.
Huge
later,
there.
Later, there was another one.
Yeah.
That was a lot of people believe should have been called.
Including Rodgers, who said they got hosed.
I understand that.
What are you going to throw? It's kind of like the old idea as a corner. It was like Legion of Boom, right? Well, all the Seahawks, and it's kind of became popular with them. I'm going to pass interference. I'm going to hold this guy every play. They're not going to throw a flag every single doggone play on this guy.
And I thought that was part of this.
Yeah, I think part of it was.
We just gave you a pass interference. We're not going to give you another one.
Yeah, and I believe that was part of it. And you and I talked about this when we were in the studio on Sunday.
I understand by letter of the law that could have been called, maybe should have been called. But because they just called one, throw flags every time there's some,
I think there was a big element of that. But I mean, listen, he did a great job. I mean, Calvin Austin, in the game, he had 4 catches for 70 yards, had that big pass interference on the last game-winning field goal drive. So, I mean, his impact was felt in this game, and I see him playing a bigger role as the season goes on because teams are going to try to take away DK Metcalf.
A lot of big plays in the game, and this one was a quiet play, but it helped to decide the game because the Jets had to chase the point forever after that. It was the first two-point conversion. So, A, Yeah. What do you think of a coach going for a two-point conversion that early? And B, when I went, because I texted you, I said, what just happened on a play? You said basically like everybody that was...
Yeah, well, I saw it in the after.
Loudermilk. Loudermilk stood his guy up and pushed him back.
He did a great job there, and so did Cam Hayward. They were holding the point. The reality is I saw in the afternoon, I want to say... I saw that happen again. Wasn't the Ravens and Bills game?
Where the Bills were chasing points.
Yeah, they're chasing points. But I saw it because earlier in the game, they had the same thing and they got halfway. It seems like it's that's what they do, right? What do you call it again? The analytics.
Yeah.
Analytics is telling you to go for it in that situation. That's why teams are doing it. And then if you don't get it, you're behind the eight ball and you're chasing the whole game.
The Bills were down
so
nine.
That's why I texted you and said, teams are doing that right now because – the Bills did the same thing in the game against the Ravens, and they were chasing the whole game.
But they had a chance to kick the extra. It was a penalty against the Steelers. Moves it up 5 yards.
Well, my thing is you don't take points off the board.
Not that first time they scored.
No, but when they had that offsides or whatever it was they called, they made the field goal. They made the extra point, sorry. And so they took points off the board to go for two.
That's what I'm saying. You could have done one of two things. You could have taken the five kick or declined.
Well,
or
no, he missed. Folk missed.
Yeah, he did miss it.
The extra point. Then they moved up
but
to the one.
But the point was he's got a second opportunity from 5 yards closer. Yeah. He should have just
1 yard
taken
closer.
What are you talking about? When there's
the two-point conversion.
No, I'm talking about kick the extra point. If they take
did he not make that extra?
No, he missed it.
He
missed it. But by getting another opportunity, you could have just moved it closer and kicked the extra point.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done, especially early in the game. There's no reason to get into that. Once you miss, all of a sudden, everyone starts saying, uh-oh.
I'm with you. I think you take the extra. I mean, especially if you move up, take that 1 point early in the game. But for some reason, we saw it on Sunday Night Football. Analytics is telling teams to go for it. And
analytics should be used when you need to use them. You don't have to use them in the first. If you miss... Now your analytics will tell you all the time to keep going for it.
Pomp, it's the same principle that you and I talked about on Sunday where when teams go for it on fourth downs, when teams call a jet sweep, it's a bad call if it doesn't work. It's a great call if it works. The same thing here. It's a great call if they get the two-point conversion and now they're up 8-0 versus it's a really bad decision.
But if you tell me it's going to happen in this week's game, like the Steelers will score to make it 10-9 and then there's an offside or whatever. So they'll say, oh, let's go for two. I'd say before the play. I don't need hindsight. Yeah. Before the play, don't do that. It's not worth it because you chase that the rest of the day. They work all training camp.
They work on those seven shots.
Yeah.
They work the go for 2 points. And so I think the Steelers would go for it. And I believe that most teams would because those doggone analytics tell them that it's better for you to do it.
I disagree with analytics a lot on that kind of stuff. I think, especially early in the game. Later in the game, you can take a two-possession game, make it one by doing whatever you want to do. But when you start, it often leads to chasing. And when you chase, you leave more points out there. Look at the Jets. They lost 34-32. Two two-point conversions they missed. They were forced to do it because they didn't kick the first extra point. And if they had not done that, they would have tied and it would have gone to overtime.
Yep. What about the Bills?
Oh, I know the Bills.
Sean McDermott turned a seven-point game. A 7-point deficit into an 8-point deficit, and then turn eight into nine.
Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't know how.
But at some point, now you're stuck. You have to go for two.
Yeah, then you have to.
Yeah.
And he still missed it, which
that's
is why
that's how it went from
to...
8 to 9.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. No. Bob?
No, go ahead.
You have more questions?
I do, but I also, I know we're probably due for a break, but somebody, a Fansville on Twitter, and he keeps, and I want to get this out, because you mentioned this early, or we did in the last show about your six pack. Yeah. Find out what Hokie eats. I need help during the week. What's his workout routine? So
no, I will listen.
Fansville wants to know.
I'll tell you. I'll be honest with you. I mean, everybody knows my wife passed away in January, and so from breast cancer. And so I just, you know, I was down. It was grieving, and I thought I'm not going to sit here on a Friday and Saturday night and just sit here and eat ice cream and swallow my grief. And so I was talking to my son Cade one night. He was still in Utah. He just graduated, moved back out here. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to start working out. So I start putting in 2-a-days. I'm 49 years old, man. And I was working out in the morning and then I started working out in the evening and I've kept that routine since then. So is it sustainable? We'll see. But, I started, you know, working out twice a day and then I try to eat better. I try to eat more, protein and, you know, more, I know my favorite dishes, Starkey. This will make you probably throw up. Cottage cheese with fruit.
I'd like cottage cheese.
It. And I get some crushed mixed nuts and I crush it.
Oh
up
yeah.
And oh, bro. And then like this morning I had just like scrambled eggs with cottage cheese in it. And I had two, grass-fed patties, hamburger patties, and a half avocado.
How about this guy, Bob? Grass-fed hamburger patties.
I mean, it shows. Yeah. If you want to look.
It does show.
It does show. I mean,
yeah.
Not that you were out of shape before, because I know what out of shape is. I look at myself every day in the mirror and I see out of shape. So I know it shows. But what about appetite? That's just that? Nothing else?
No, listen. He likes ice cream. You know, I read something, too, online. I read it on social media that the best way to, back then, the best way to lose weight is to go to bed hungry. And so you eat dinner earlier and not have anything after that.
That's
and you
exactly.
Go to bed hungry.
That's a good one.
Yes,
that's
what I've been trying. That's what I've been doing.
That's why, for me, I like to stay on schedule in terms of eating in the morning, normal time, eating lunch at normal time, so I can have dinner at 5 or 6.
Yes.
And then not anything the rest of the night. And if I get hungry at night, I go to bed hungry. That works for me.
Yes, because if you're done with dinner, let's say by 6 or 6:30, yeah, and then you don't eat till 8 the next morning, that's a 14-hour fast.
Huge. Yeah, that's that intermittent fasting kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.